morning, I wanted to start by asking the question that, well, really the kids answered really, really well. So what is a legacy? What is a legacy to you? How would you define or understand legacy?
Serious, Pete.
Well, you know what my dad always said. Having dreams.
makes life tolerable.
In this film, Rudy has a dream of being a walk-on player for the Notre Dame football team. And everybody, no one thinks he can do this. Is he comes from a poor working class family? His grades aren't where they need to be. So his father, his priest, I mean, there are so many people who just tell him this is just a dream and to give up. But his friend Pete gives him this gift of this jacket from a secondhand store, and it propels him, it motivates him even further. And the film is about him achieving his dream and holding on to that dream, and that gift that he receives transforms him and gives him that power, that courage, that strength that he needs to continue. And I don't want to give away the film, but it's really good. So, see where it ends. Gifts are powerful, and they have the capacity to change our lives. Have you ever received a gift that has completely changed your life? Have you ever had the opportunity to give a gift that has changed someone else's life? I know for me, I've received some pretty powerful gifts in my life, just unconditional gifts. But I think one of the most powerful gifts in my life that just sticks with me, when I traveled to Lesotho in 2005 with the youth group, we worshiped in a small town called Itabanay, and it was this tiny country church, and there wasn't a seat in the house. It was packed. People were standing in the aisles, in the back, and the doors to the church were open, and people were spilling down the church steps. And there were 30 of us, and we were guests of honor for worship, but we all sat in the front row. And the thing that always sticks to me in my mind is we worshiped for an hour, and then we had an offering for an hour. It was amazing. There were these elders that sat at the front of the church during the offering, and if the people didn't give enough, they would row up and they would call on the Holy Spirit and people would give more. And I was just like blown away by the generosity of these people. And when it came our turn, I was so ecstatic to be a part of this, and I gave all the rest of my spending money for the trip. Put it all in the plate. I watched our kids put everything we had into that plate. I don't think we wanted to get called up again. But we gave everything we had because we were so empowered by the gift of the Spirit in that community. We're blown away by the courage and the strength and the gifts of the people that we were forming these relationships with. But the true gift came after the service. The youth pastor was speaking to us about the community and the people and what a gift that church community was to the surrounding community that was ravaged and just heartbroken over AIDS, which had just impacted so many lives. And the youth pastor took our monetary gift, and he gave half of it back to us, and he charged us in that moment. He said, "I'm grateful. I am so grateful for all that you have given. You have given all of your resources, but now we need you to give all of yourselves. And I want you to take these gifts and share our message of struggle and hope, and continue these relationships that we've built here today, that together we are a Christian community, and we have hope in this love that wins." I will never forget that gift, because it taught me that it is in the giving of our lives and giving of ourselves, in these relationships that we build, in this beautiful diversity coming together in love, that we have this amazing power through the work of the Holy Spirit to transform our world and to live into this vision of the kingdom of God. Jesus one day was approached by a man who asked him, "Teacher, can you be the judge in helping to settle a family dispute amongst us about an inheritance?" Here's how Jesus answered. Let's read this scripture food together. Then Jesus told them this story. The farm of a certain rich man produced a terrific crop. He talked to himself, "What can I do? My barn isn't big enough for this harvest." Then he said, "Here's what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And I'll gather in all my grain and goods. And I'll say to myself, 'So, you've done well. You've got a baby, and now you retire. Take it easy and have the time of your life.'" Just then, God showed up and said, "Fool, tonight you die, and your barn full of goods, who gets it?" That's what happens when you fill your barn with self and not with God. So the man asked Jesus to settle this inheritance, and this is the parable that Jesus tells. Jesus refuses to judge the case. He's not going to get involved in this dispute over earthly possessions. Instead, he shifts the conversation. He tells the man life is not to be measured or valued in terms of wealth or possessions. Because you could gain the whole world and lose yourself, your identity as a child of God. In this parable, we're reminded that our true value and worth is not in a preoccupation with possessions. Our vision here at the barn is not that we want to build bigger barns. You like that?
I like that.
We're not building bigger barns. Like, we're not going to knock down our old barns and build bigger barns and fill it with more stuff. We want to be building and investing our lives in relationships. Relationships that matter. Hearing one another's story. Investing of our passions, our gifts, our talents. And we want to live into a legacy of community built with a foundation of loving relationships. Our legacy is to create a sustainable community that can be passed down from generation to generation, seeking to live into the kingdom of God here on earth. I'd like to share this quote with you by Mary Jo Leddy, who wrote a book called Radical Gratitude. And she says, "What we say with our words is so much less important than what we mean with our lives. Only our lives give weight to our words." Living into the kingdom, we want to fill our barn with God, with gratitude for the gifts of this day, this life, this breath, this love, these passions, this peace. As children of God, we strive to be grateful for our relationships, our community, for wonder, for beauty, for the everyday miracles that surround us. And we are grateful to God for this barn, this ministry, this opportunity to declare that love wins. And in our barn, our deeper barn, maybe not necessarily bigger, but deeper barn, we want to fill our lives together with opportunities that seek the kingdom of God first with all that we say and do. So I've invited a couple of couples to come and share a little bit about how they understand what's meaningful to them, what they understand their legacy is, how they are passionate about being a part of this barn community. So, Sharon and Brian, do you want to go first? I was like, I didn't have any decision. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Good morning. When Joanne first asked me to do this, I thought, you know, how did your journey end up here? And I thought, oh yeah, that's a big deal. But when I sat down at the computer, it started really thinking about it, writing it down, much more of an exercise than I thought it would be. Sharon and I have always been very involved in the churches we belong to. Gosh, Sharon, I'm
was one time the two women, when the shelter closes in the morning and they have to go out into the streets, there were two women that traveled together all day, and they would first go to the Bethlehem Public Library to stay warm and read the papers. So I would ask them at dinner time, could you tell me what the local news is? Because I didn't read the paper today, and I don't know what's going on. And they started sharing with me, and every week it was, Sharon, let me fill you in on what's going on. So it was their mission to keep me up to date, which was very helpful. And at the same time, we started talking as a community to say, have we asked our guests what they would like for dinner? Have we asked them what's their favorite meal? And we said, no, we haven't done that. So we asked some women, and they kept looking at us, and they said, oh, it's just too expensive. We can't tell you. And I said, please, just share it with us. And they said, eggplant parmesan. We love eggplant parmesan. So our committee made it. We were so happy to have that information. We made it a joy. And when we served it, it was such a big hit.
So then the minister that had been at our church for a long time retires, and there was a change of leadership that, at least to us, was not in a good way. They became even more inward-looking. Resources were being banked instead of spent. We had an even harder time trying to get anything done. So we said, okay, if this is our priority, we have to find it. And, you know, I know that there are a lot of things that women do better than men, but at least in my world, men are better quitters. I just quit. And that's it. And I actually said to Sharon, that's it for churches. I can't do this anymore. We can do homeless shelter meals on our own, which we did, which was not as nice at all. So I said, that's it. We're not going to do it. And, okay, then you're doing it.
I tried to work with the leadership, ask if we can push the envelope a little more, use our resources a little more, help our neighbors in need, just continue some of our programs, and I just kept hitting walls. So I finally left. And I felt very lost. I was lost without a religious community to help me focus on volunteerism and helping giving my gifts through a religious community. So I decided to keep looking, and
the Holy Spirit works in amazing ways, because it was me that saw the article about Bob Yoder. And the article in the paper about Bob Yoder and the community gardens. And I could have easily slipped that on the bottom of the pile and just said, hey, look, Sharon, the Phillies lost again. But I found myself saying, Sharon, this is, you know, I've got to check this out. This is really cool. And next thing we know, we're here, and we're loving it.
Yeah. So we found the barn, and we found a home here. We were very welcomed. And what we really loved was the community was giving in love. You were giving to others. You were using your time and resources to give to others. And all I can say is, let's continue this great work, and amen.
Amen. Amen.
And Renee and Jeff are going to share their story with us.
When Joanne asked if we would share our story, it wasn't hard to say yes to that question. As I think about this topic, legacy, it's something that has always mattered to me. I've always been a person who thinks about why, what's the purpose, what is life about, what am I to do, what am I to be set on, what do I want to leave. And even as I thought about the question, legacy, I thought about the legacy that I want to leave is the gift of my life to people. That is true of the legacy that I want. And I think the barn helps us to do that. And so that's part of what I'm going to share with you at the onset. Our story, we went to a large church. When we started to attend that church, it was about almost 500 people at the time, and they went through multiple iterations of building and adding on. So there were, it grew in size from probably almost 500 to 800 to 1,000 to, you know, to 1,200 to 1,500. And they did probably 4 building campaigns during the time that we were there. And, you know, as Jeff and I kind of talked about it, one of the things that really started to become clear to us was that it really was hard to have meaningful relationship with people there. You would go in on a Sunday morning, and honestly, it felt like you were cattle, almost like being herded down the aisles that were there. And they made a decision to grow even larger, and I think with the way that our faith journey was changing and the way that we were wired as people, we made a decision to start to look elsewhere. Do you want to tell them about some of the places we went? Have you really been?
Yeah, go
for it. Okay. So, so in our journey to come to the barn, we went to a small Presbyterian community that was really alive and active. People were alive and active, but it didn't feel like home to us. It didn't feel like it fit the way that our faith journey was changing. We went to a church that Jeff's uncle actually had gone to. Mother's uncle, thank you. Thank you for that correction. Which was really interesting. Maybe some of you have heard me tell the story, but it was WASP, a lot of old WASP people from Jeff's mother's uncle's era. And then it was Pentecostal Hispanics in downtown Allentown. And it was interesting, but it didn't just feel like it was the place where we were to land. They were really trying to do something special, I believe, but it didn't feel like it was the place for us to land. We actually went downtown Allentown to New Bethany Ministries, the church that's affiliated right there, and it was like, oh, this is cool too, but it didn't feel like it was Jeff and Renee. And finally, we were looking through, I was looking at the internet, just looking for churches, and I was caught by this phrase, love wins. It grabbed my attention. It was what I thought Jeff and I were really looking for, again, because we've talked, both of us have talked a lot about purpose in our quiet time together, and that we want to live lives that are impactful for other people. And so this caught us, and I can remember having a conversation with Sue about the whole phrase of things. And why don't you tell the story of Easter Sunday when we came and sat with Dave Jacoby?
I'll get to that. As opposed to Renee, I don't prepare anything, so I'm just going to speak off the top, so I'll try to keep it brief. One of the things that, you know, when I was in leadership and business, I always tried to instill in people is, you know, there are always issues. And I said, you know, before you run from something, know where you're running to. You know, don't get yourself out there kind of limboing. And, you know, for a period of time, I think we both felt that the church we were at before was moving on a slippery slope in a direction that was no longer a balanced position without getting into any specifics. And it was really moving towards an extreme. And it just so happened one of the extremes that I struggled with most with was these capital projects and building. And again, I'm not opposed to those things. I think they serve, but they should not be the master. And it just felt like that in particular was becoming a master. You know, I'm talking big money, like $750,000 set aside in a bank account to do something that to this day still hasn't done anything yet. And that troubled me. But again, we didn't want to run from something. And she took the lead and talked about some of the places that we've been at. And I kind of like it too. I know I want to run through something, but I can't really put my hands on it. It reminded me years ago when I got thrown into a quality improvement project and somebody said, define what quality is. I said, I don't know what it is, but I'll know it when I see it. So, you know, we didn't have, and that's a little bit different for me. I usually know a goal, something that I'm aiming for, and I couldn't describe, at least I couldn't describe what I was aiming for, but I said, all right, we'll know it when we see it. And we tried a couple, and when we came here, the story that Renee wants to tell, you're going to have to fill in the details, or where's Dave? They will have to fill in the details. I think it was an Easter Sunday. I don't know if that was the first Sunday. It might have been. And do we have a meal afterwards? Or before? We were sitting out in one of the other rooms, breakfast, and somehow, how did we end up sitting with Dave? I don't know. He was probably the only one there. But somehow, a topic that, you know, we have a little bit of mutual interest in, beer, came up. And as they say, the rest is history. Now, I don't want to say that was the quality of the It certainly didn't hurt.
All right, so just kind of finish the story. One of the things that we felt when we came here was that we could be Jeff and Renee. We didn't have to be religious. We could be people who were really genuinely pursuing our faith, and we are. But we could be Jeff and Renee. And Jeff and Renee love beer. And we love talking to Dave about beer. You get that with the Stevens. I mean, it's just kind of who we are. So anyway, our journey bringing us here was each one of you. And it has been a couple of years now that we've been here. And we are so thankful to be making the journey with you. You have taught us a lot about what it means to love well and to be both recipients of love and givers of love. And so I want to thank you for that.
Just add one thing. I think for both of us, Renee, you know, kind of touched on it first, Loveland. You know, I thought about, I wasn't a strong relationship person. That's something I really had to work at. I'm more task-oriented, like an engineer. And but I recognized that need. And the church we were at before, as it grew, I mean, it's just very interesting. We were gone well over 6 months to a year. And occasionally we'd run into somebody that were friends, not close friends, but friends. And they didn't realize that we were not going to the church any longer. So that kind of reinforced we're doing the right thing. The other thing with Love Wins, that, you know, there's a requirement there. Love Wins, you have to be in relationship with people. And we just didn't have those relationships. And, you know, some of it was us, but it was extremely difficult. I kind of liken it to drinking mud through a straw. It wasn't easy to draw that out. So I think that was an important factor, too.
Thank you.
I think that's really the legacy of the barn, is about connecting our vision of developing this community, this wonderfully, beautifully diverse community, connecting us through the gifts of the Holy Spirit that God gives us in this incredible love, that we can deepen our relationships with one another so that we can seek the kingdom of God first in our lives, that we can grow together in faith. And so our legacy series is really about stewardship and about how we use and think about the whole of our lives, dedicating our lives out of gratitude to God for all of the gifts of each and every day that we are given, that we want and feel compelled out of gratitude to share in those relationships with others. And so stewardship is about these relationships. It's also about sharing our resources. So what we've come up with a plan so that we can all be a part of this gift-giving process. We're calling it our 100 Hidden Heartfelt Heroes. And what we're inviting the community to do is to give an extra gift beyond your current level of giving, that we can bridge a gap that we have in our budget. So for the first year, in the 11 years that the barn has existed, this is the first year we've had a gap in our giving. And it's not a huge gap, like I don't want to sound many alarms, but we've had a gap. And we have 100 envelopes. And we can bridge that gap if we all become a hidden heartfelt hero. So what we're going to invite you to do is to take one or two or however many envelopes that you feel called to take, and whatever number is on that envelope, you're going to put that amount of money in the envelope. And you're going to bring that offering back on Thanksgiving Sunday, on November 27th, and we're going to share and be grateful and worship that day for this Thanksgiving offering of all of the hidden heroes in our midst to help bridge the gap. So if you would consider being a part of this vision, because what we want to do is we want to create a community that is sustainable. And sustainability is really important for us for a number of different reasons. One is our budget has always been met because as a new church development, we've had all of these grants to sustain some of our programs. And now that we're an old church, around for 11 years, we can't apply for some of those grants anymore. So you all are sustaining this community, which I think is a tremendous gift. I mean, really, it's something to be thankful for. And it's going to mean that we're going to have to do a little bit more just to bridge that gap. And because we really want to show our donors, because we do apply for other grants to sustain some of our programs, by showing that we can meet our budget, it's a really big plus for donors, too. So I just also wanted to say thank you. Thank you to every single person here in the community. We have a number of partners who aren't here today, but we have this wide reach and we have these tremendous partnerships that we are living into this vision together, building relationships with one another. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you to each and every one of you. Thank you for sharing of yourselves. Thank you for building relationships. Thank you for serving the wider community. And thank you for being you, being a child of God and seeking the kingdom. Amen. Amen.